Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm Michaela. And this is Drink the Movies,
a podcast where each week we try to recreate a classic movie drink and discuss the movie that inspired it.
Thanks for joining us. Now let's drink the movies.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 60 of Drink the Movies. I'm Brian here, as always, with Michaela. Michaela, you and I started an extracurricular activity this week, and it was pretty fun. There was a bar there. Good times were had by all. Why don't you fill in the listeners what we were up to this week?
Well, like all good middle-aged people, we decided to try our hand at the old bowling ball. So we found us a league, and we joined. Mm-hmm. And we got shoesies. I got real cute pink ones. Yep. And we found a place that has a bar, which is a must in these times. And it's a must, you know, I think there are two types of bowlers in the world. They're the people that kind of loosen up as they drink. And then there are people that just start out great and get, progressively worse over the course of the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one I am. I think there might be a third category of just people that are just horrible from beginning to end. And that might've been where I was, but we found us a league and we started, that counts as exercise, right? It's new year, new you.
New year, new us. That's right. It does count as exercise. We joined up a bowling league and it was a good time. We had some beers, did some bowling. It was pretty good. You've not bowled in a super long time. I have also not bowled in a super long time. So that was interesting, getting back into it. But we thought if we were going to be in a bowling league, we should probably talk about the penultimate bowling movie. Is there a more penultimate bowling movie? I don't know. Let us know. But what we're going to have to do first is we're going to have to get some heavy cream, some Kahlua, and some vodka, because we're diving into Big Lebowski this week. So sit back. We'll be right back.
Look, I'm the dude, okay? So that's what you call me, all right? The dude, or his dudeness, or duder, or El Duderino, if you're not in the whole brevity thing. And Brian, what does the dude drink?
The dude fancies himself some White Russians. We first meet the dude. He is at the grocery store writing checks for some half and half so he can make his own, which is pretty great. And White Russians are pretty great. And they're definitely great this time of year because it's super cold outside. Like half the country is like sub-zero temperatures, covered in snow. So make yourself up a White Russian that will warm you up and get you all cozy when you're settling in to watch a movie this time of year. So Michaela, you whipped these up for us. Why don't you run through how you make a White Russian?
So I start with 2 ounces of vodka. We're adding a bunch of stuff. Well, not a bunch of stuff, but we're adding stuff to it. So it doesn't need to be really expensive vodka. So 2 ounces of any kind of vodka you particularly like or have. This calls for 1 ounce of Kahlua. And then you put that into a glass with some ice and then just top with some cream, stir and enjoy.
Stir and enjoy. That's right. Yeah, this one's super simple. The ingredients are very flexible. You can add or subtract the amounts on those like to get your preferred taste down. But yeah, kind of this base one, 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of Kahlua and some heavy cream. And you are good to go. So we actually did a variation on the White Russian a couple weeks back on the lobby bar. We did like a gingerbread White Russian. I was looking through some recipes. There's like a bunch of crazy White Russians. So I think maybe after we get through Dry January, stay tuned to the lobby bar. We'll probably do some more variations on White Russians because these are lovely. It's a perfect little nightcap. I will say I have trouble drinking like more than one of these. It's a little heavy, a little coats your tongue action going on. But what do you think about White Russians, Michaela? Are these your jam?
These are my jam. I will second that. I can definitely drink more than one of them, but I don't drink anything else after it because, as you said, the cream or the half and half or even the milk. I mean, you know, girls got to do what a girl's got to do, right? Whatever you've got in there, it's going to coat your tongue. And the creamier it is, the higher the fat content, the more it's going to coat your tongue. And if you decide you're going to do like, I don't know, a martini after this, it's not going to taste the same. So I recommend if you do a bunch of different drinks in the night, kudos to you, my friend, make sure you top the end of the night off with the White Russian rather than the beginning of the night. So
That's right. Yeah. I don't know that I could just walk around town drinking one, going from limo to limo like the dude does. But yeah, I'm definitely on board for having a White Russian every once in a while. So we have these made up. They're quite delicious. The dude would approve. The dude abides these White Russians, I think. So let us know at home if you have a White Russian recipe that you really like or a variation on it that you really like. But in the meantime, why don't we take these? We'll take a quick break and then we'll be right back to talk about this cult classic, The Big Lebowski.
Spoiler warning for The Big Lebowski. If you've not yet seen this 1998 cult classic, then I recommend you stop right now because we're going to talk all about it. We're going to ruin every plot line. We're probably going to say all of the cool quotes. And when you watch it afterwards, it'll ruin it just a little bit for you. So press pause, go make yourself up an amazing White Russian, go watch The Big Lebowski, come back and we can chat about it.
That's right. We will do just that. So this came out in 1998. So if you haven't seen it right now, it's probably already been spoiled for you because everyone has a friend that's way into The Big Lebowski and will quote it all the time. So you're probably pretty familiar with the way that this is going to go. But if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's directed by Joel Coen and it stars Jeff Bridges as the dude and a handful of other pretty bright stars through this that we're going to talk about as we kind of walk our way through this thing. So yeah, so Michaela, let's get started with like a voiceover and a tumbleweed. What's better than that? A tumbleweed going. It's laying the groundwork for our a protagonist. I don't even know if he's a protagonist. He's just kind of along for the ride, the dude, Jeff Lebowski. And we're introduced to him straight away in his bathrobe, buying some half and half for his White Russians. Pretty great way to get this party started, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing rewatching this with the idea that we're going to podcast about it. The backdrop is so nice because you see these beautiful seat shots of Los Angeles, which of course, Elliot.
Sam Elliot. Yeah.
Sam Elliot is like, sometimes there's a man in Los Angeles and he's saying it wrong. And it's still so amazing. And you get this guy who's literally in a supermarket in a bathrobe, which I guess shouldn't surprise anybody in Los Angeles. But he's like writing a check for 69 cents for cream. And he also like tests it out. You know, he wants to make sure that it smells fresh, even though that's totally gross. And we shouldn't do that, especially now in the middle of a pandemic. Don't do that, people. But
yeah,
you really get a good feel for the time and place. And you get Sam Elliott going on and on about a man in his time and place. And he like loses his train of thought. And spoiler warning, fun fact rather, when Sam Elliott got it in the first take and they just had him do it like three or four more times because apparently it was so great and they just kept laughing and they thought it was so awesome. So I don't know which take they ended up using for this one, but it's like 7-8 minutes of just him kind of waxing on with a tumbleweed kind of showing us all the sights in Los Angeles. It's pretty funny.
It is a long time coming in. It is a long time just watching this tumbleweed, I will say. Now there's about 4 million people that live in Los Angeles. So I don't know if a tumbleweed could really go through all of the town quite like that, but it's a fun way to get it started. And yeah, we meet Jeff Lebowski, AKA the dude. No one calls him Lebowski, even though that's his name. And he gets home from the store. And there's a couple of thugs there to beat him up because apparently his wife has been spending money all over town, except spoiler warning, he doesn't have a wife. So not a millionaire, doesn't have a wife. These guys in the wrong place at the wrong time, they have the wrong Lebowski.
They have the wrong Lebowski, man. He's like, the toilet seat's up, man. Does it look like I'm married? Look around, people.
Yeah.
And to be fair, no ring, toilet seat up. To be fair, this place looks... This apartment is amazing. It's like if you were to take a person who loved garage selling, like going to garage sales and buying like
$2 items. I love going to garage sales.
Well, yeah, but you don't just love going to garage sales. You do also go to IKEA and like regular furniture shops.
But I'm married, so my house doesn't look like that. That's
true. Right.
That's true.
There you go. This is like very quintessential single guy's house, right? But these two dudes come in. This guy named Wu is searching the place. This blonde haired guy's like shoving his head in the toilet. He's like, "You got the money." And he's like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And then they realize that they've got the wrong Lebowski, but not before this gentleman decides to pee all over this rug. And it's not even a nice rug, but it really makes the dude mad. He's like, "Man, that rug really tied the room together. Like, don't pee on my rug." And then they don't even say sorry. They're like, "Yeah, wrong guy."
They yell at him for being the wrong guy, which is pretty great.
So you're a loser. And he's like, "At least I'm housebroken. Thanks."
Yeah. So they pee on his rug, they leave. What are you going to do when that happens, except go and hang out with your friends and tell them how upset you are about the rug? So we're going to go to the bowling alley. It's league night, just like Michaela and I did. Except, you know, instead of our friends there, we have Walter and Donnie. There who are friends of the dudes. So we have Walter, he's played by John Goodman, and we have Donnie, who's played by Steve Buscemi, who is awesome. Top actor for me of all time. I love Steve Buscemi. He's so great. And they're there just, you know, waxing poetic about how great this rug was and how it really tied the room together. And Walter has big ideas on what should be done about this. Walter has big ideas about what should be done in all situations, really. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, Walter is, he's a Vietnam vet, which is important. You definitely find that out very quickly. He's probably got some PTSD, and issues with it, because everything becomes like a hill to die on for him. Right. So he has this great theory. At first, you know, the dude is like, "Man, it really sucks that my rug was peed on. And now what am I going to do? Like, that guy, it's Vu's fault. Vu's the guy who peed on the rug." And he's like, "No." Walter's like, "No, man, it's not. You got to go to the Big Lebowski. You got to go to the other Lebowski, because he's a millionaire, man. And he can give you your rug back, or he can give you some cash to go buy another rug. It's his fault, man. It's his fault." And of course the dude's like, "Huh, that's interesting. All right." And Donnie is just like three steps behind every time they're talking. So he'll go in and be like, "Dude, wait, what? You let someone pee on your rug? What's going on?" And Walter's like, "Shut up, Donnie." And another fun fact, the Coen brothers actually could not be on set during this scene because they would ruin it, because they would be laughing so hard in the background. So it's brilliant. The comedic timing in this particular scene is my favorite, probably of the whole film. It's so good, the way that they tell the story and the theory that Walter kind of orates, and the fact that, you know, the dude is doing this weird thing with his back. He's like doing Tai Chi or something to get ready for the bowling league. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and then Donnie's kind of intersecting, you know, what's going on? What? Yeah, somebody peed on your rug?
Yeah, and probably my favorite line in a movie that's full of good lines comes right here in this first section. So they've been talking about this now for several minutes, and Donnie just looks back and he's like, "Lebowski, that's your name, dude." And it's pretty great. So the plan is in motion. Got to go talk to the Big Lebowski, you know, get him to pay for, I don't know, the dry cleaning on this rug or replace the rug. So that's what the dude is going to go do. So he goes to the Lebowski mansion. I guess he's there talking to Brant, who's like the, I don't know, like butler overseer of this estate or something. He's played by Philip Seymour Hoffman. Rest in peace. Philip Seymour Hoffman is amazing. He's great in this role. He's great in every role. And he's basically like in this like waiting room kind of area. And there's all these pictures of the Big Lebowski meeting with like Nancy Reagan. And he has like a key to, I don't know, the city, Sacramento, or I don't know, something crazy like that. So he's just this big millionaire guy. We're waiting for him to come in and see if he's going to replace this rug. And he's not, he's not that big into replacing the rug. That's not his fault.
Yeah. This guy, it's worth noting that this happens in the early 90s is when this movie is set. So you have a lot of lines and a lot of kind of a backdrop of Saddam Hussein and George Bush Sr. Saying this aggression will not stand. And so you see kind of a commentary on like this progressive versus conservative thinking. And so of course the Big Lebowski, who's this millionaire, he's in a wheelchair, and there's a whole diatribe about that. And he's like, look, I managed to claw my way to the top of this mountain without the use of my legs, and you can get a job. It's not, I didn't pee on your rug. And the, you know, the dude is like, oh man, I'm not trying to scam anybody. Like, I just, you know, they thought they were peeing on your rug, man. Like, you don't you see that? And, you know, he mentions Bunny, his wife. He's like, your wife apparently owes the money. And the Big Lebowski freaks about that. He's like, you know, I give her an allowance and she's fine. And if she doesn't know how to manage her debt, that's her problem. It's just very, why don't you have a job? Just get a job. The bum's lost. And so the dude just leaves Lebowski screaming right in this room. And then Brandt comes over. I love Philip Seymour Hoffman in this role. And he's in a suit and he's kind of clawing at his jacket. He says, Mr. Lebowski, did everything go okay? And the dude says, oh yeah, man. He said I could take any rug I wanted. So he grabs this giant rug that's way too big for his apartment anyway. And yeah,
it's this huge Oriental rug. It probably costs like $100,000 or something insane. So he gets this big rug. On the way out, we meet Bunny, the wife. So Bunny is played by Tara Reid. This was the year before American Pie came out, so no one knew who Tara Reid was yet. But you know, she went through kind of that late 90s, early 2000s, being super popular. But she's the wife, very, very flirtatious, very not thrifty with this allowance that she gets. So meet Bunny. She's quite the character, but the dude has his rug. That's all he really wanted. He just wanted something to happen with this rug. He got the rug, he goes home, back at bowling, telling the story about how he got this rug. No big deal, met this guy, everything is on the up and up. Unless you're bowling against this team and you maybe accidentally go over the line, or maybe you don't, but Walter takes great offense to people not abiding the rules of this bowling league. It goes from 0 to 10,000 in like a half a second. Walter, little unhinged, this guy.
Little unhinged. Yeah, poor Smokey. Smokey is a real sweet looking guy on the other team. And he gets a 7 and he's like, mark at 7. And Walter literally starts screaming about, he's the only one who cares about the rules. You know, this is not NOM. There are rules and we got to follow the rules. And he pulls out a gun and Smokey like freaks. And, you know, of course, dude's like, they're going to call the cops, man. He's trying to stay real calm and de-escalate the situation. And then Walter's like, man, it's a league game, Smokey. It's fine. You know, it's fine. And Walter goes back to being like super even keel. And this is when the dude starts to freak out, because he's like, the cops are going to come. Why would you do that to Smokey, man? He's the nicest guy in the world. It's not a big deal. And they're walking out of this bowling alley that looks like every bowling alley that we've ever been to, right? There's kind of a bar in the center. It's got a really cool look and feel, kind of retro. I don't know why they all look that way, but they do. And they're all amazing. So they're walking out, the cops kind of swarm and go, don't pay them any attention, and like run in to the bowling area as they're trying to go out. It's a great scene.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So, you see the police roll in. It's funny. They're saying, "Oh, we're gonna call the league and tell them that you pulled a gun on me," which is like the worst thing in the world for these guys who just love bowling beyond all else. But the dude gets home, makes himself up a White Russian, as you do. You hear like his answering machine going off, and there's like 3 calls from the league talking about how, you know, Walter pulled this gun on this guy. They might have to disqualify you from the next round, something like that. You get a knock on the door. We find out that the dude's behind on his rent, which isn't good, but I guess if you're writing checks for like 60 cents, that makes some sense. I guess there's some silver lining going on. Maybe, I don't know, because in the midst of all of these calls, he gets a call from Brandt, and Brandt is sending over a limo for him because the Big Lebowski wants to talk to the dude. Something's happened that only the dude can help with, I guess. So sending over a car, and he is on the way back to the mansion to find out what happened. And what happened was that Bunny was abducted. There's a ransom note for $1 million to get Bunny back. You know, Big Lebowski's one true love wants to get her back. And the dude is the perfect bad guy for this, right? Not bad guy, bad guy. He's going to take the $1 million to these ransomers.
That's right. So he doesn't want to do it by himself, obviously. So he asks Walter to join him. Walter, who I think brings his dog as well. It's not his dog. It's his ex-wife's dog, but it's a show dog with papers. This is a very special dog. You can't possibly like take it to a kennel. It'll get upset. Its hair will fall out. It'll be horrible. And so, you know, the dude, Walter, they're taking the dude's car. They've got this thing of money. They got like a beeper, and they got this, back in the day, this was before cell phones, they got this big phone case looking thing. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. like the size of a laptop, but it's got a phone attached to it, and they're supposed to wait for instructions. But Walter, once again, has a bigger, better idea. He's like, I got a great idea. This woman, you know, she's probably fine. She probably kidnapped herself, man. Like, and you know, we're going to take the million for ourselves. And so he gets this bag of his own. Walter puts his underwear in it, and they try to, you know, fake off at the drop off and throw, you know, this underwear filled bag over the side of this bridge. And so that's what they do. But then, of course, the dude thinks that it's real. I mean, he's, you know, the Big Lebowski has told him that Bunny's life is in his hands. And he's like, Walter, you're an idiot. Like, that's not, you know, maybe she kidnapped herself, but we don't know that. And so he's like chasing after these two motorcycles that come to take the cash under the bridge. And he's like, no, you got the wrong one. And it's a mess. But Walter's like, man, let's go bowling.
Yeah, that's right. At the end of the day, these guys, they just want to go bowling, right? So they bungled this bag drop situation, but they ended up with the bag that has the $1 million in it, or at least supposedly does. And they go back to the bowling alley. They do some bowling. You know, there's some more kind of back and forth. But at the end of their time at the bowling alley, they leave. But the dude's car, not there. Maybe it got towed, says Walter, but the dude just looks at him. He's like, you know, it wasn't towed. You know that my car got stolen. So he's just walking home. But the problem with the car being stolen is that briefcase is still in it.
That's right. So Walter goes home. He is laying on his rug, doing smoking something, I don't know. Something. And he's listening to old tapes of bowling because he's trying to stay real calm. And apparently that's very calming to him. He has this weird vision of this woman and these two guys, and they punch him. And then he has kind of this very strange dream where he's floating up above the city of Los Angeles, and this woman in front of him has like red hair and is floating on a magic carpet, which is his carpet. And he wakes up, he listens to his machine, because apparently he was really knocked out. And this woman says, you know, Jeffrey Lebowski, you know, I'm Maud. I took your rug. And he notices that the rug that he has taken from the Big Lebowski is gone. So he goes, another limo is sent to the Lebowski. He's doing real well with this limo ride and stuff. And he gets to, we meet another character. Her name is Maud. And that is the Big Lebowski's daughter.
That's right. Yeah, Maud is the Big Lebowski's daughter. She is played by Julianne Moore. She is the highlight of the movie for me. I love her. She's so amazing. Her delivery is amazing. It's like super dry and articulate. I don't know. It's hard to describe how she plays this character, but it's really excellent. So he goes over to see her, right? And we find out that she took the rug back. That rug had sentimental value, as rugs tend to do, I guess. And we find out that that $1 million that he was supposed to exchange for the life of Bunny, well, the Big Lebowski stole that from the charitable foundation. And apparently a lot of that goes on, I guess. But that's where that money came from. And Maud wants it back. She says, we need to get that money back so we can put it back into the charity. Just go do that, right? So now we have the Big Lebowski wants the dude to get this $1 million to Bunny's captors. We have Maud wants this $1 million back so she can put it back into the charitable foundation. And, you know, the dude is stuck in the middle of this family drama right now. So he's going to take the limo home. But as soon as he steps out of that limo, he's abducted and thrown into another limo, which is where the Big Lebowski is. And he's like, why did you bungle this cash drop, you idiot? Now take this. And what is in this envelope? It's something not great. So
not great. No, the dude tries to explain to the Big Lebowski that, you know, it's a woman. Come on now. She kidnapped herself. Hadn't you thought about that? And they're just staring at him like, no, we did not. That did not occur to us, dude.
It's like, I did not think about that.
No. And he's like, come on, man. She's a woman. She's in adult movies in the parlance of our times. Like, look, she's a trophy wife. Maybe she wants more money. And she wants $1 million, and maybe that this was all a ruse to get $1 million. And at, you know, as he's opening this envelope, and the Big Lebowski is like, dude, you are such an idiot. And her life was in your hands. And let me tell you what, if you know any harm that comes to my beloved bunny is going to come back on you tenfold. And as he's opening this envelope, he sees that it's a body part. It looks like a pinky toe with some green nail polish on it. And we saw Bunny doing her toes the first time and only time we actually meet her. And so we're, you know, the dude is like, oh my gosh, we were so wrong, Walter. And he's talking to Walter and saying, nope, they're at a coffee shop and this family friendly diner in the middle of the city. And he's like, I can't believe this. We're going to leave her to die. And what are we going to do? Like, we don't have the money. We can't get the money. The money's, you know, long gone. It's been in a car that's been stolen. And of course, Walter, he's not worried about this at all. He's like, nah, that's a fake toe, man. I can get you a toe. That's not Bunny's toe. You don't want to know how. I can get you a toe. 3 p.m. today, man. Green nail polish and everything. And he starts screaming, of course, in the middle of this diner. And this very nice server comes over and is like, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And he's like, I'm enjoying my coffee. It's funny, but it's also a little scary. And so the dude's like, I'm out. I'm leaving.
Yeah, the dude leaves. Walter just sits there very awkwardly. He's like, I'm going to stay and drink my coffee. So he does, but yeah, I guess. So like I said, a lot of people now he's caught in the middle of this, family thing going on between the Lebowskis, maybe bungled this with Bunny. Maybe Bunny is, you know, she's in real danger. He has this toe now. But I guess there is some good news coming. They found the car. So he goes and to like the impound lot to pick it up. Car's there. The suitcase or the briefcase is not there, but there's a clue. And it's like a history paper, which is full of errors. Kid did not do very good on this paper, but they get a name for who this kid is. And that's the lead. This kid has to have this $1 million.
That's right. So Walter, once again, the dude invites Walter along, and maybe that's his downfall, is that he loves Walter, but Walter tends to take everything from 0 to 10,000 in about 7.5 seconds. So Walter shows up, he's in like a suit. They trace this guy, Larry Sellers is his name. His father apparently was this big writer, but now is in bad shape medically. Yeah, he's in the living room.
He's on like an iron lung.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they show up to talk to little Larry, and you know, the dude is just like, dude, where's the money? And they're holding up this, you know, history paper in like a Ziploc bag as if it's evidence. And Larry's not saying anything, but they notice that there is this really beautiful Corvette. I think it's a Corvette out on the street. Why it's on the street in Los Angeles and not in the driveway is beyond me. I'm just saying, Coen Brothers, I think that could have been, we should have addressed that, but, yeah. But that's fine. It's a beautiful red Corvette. And of course, Larry, is not saying anything. So Walter loses his mind, becomes unhinged yet again for like the fifth time in this movie. He grabs a crowbar out of the dude's car and he's like, this is what happens. You're killing your father, Larry. And he starts like banging through the windows of this new car, hitting the headlights. I mean, he's like banging this thing up. And of course, it's not little Larry's car, because what would Larry do with $1 million? He's like 15. He's not going to buy a car. That's not how this works. So then another man comes running out and he's like, I just bought this car last week. What are you doing?
That's right. Yeah. And that's why the car is parked in the street instead of in a driveway, because then they would have known that it wasn't little Larry's car. But yeah, he smashes it up. Then this guy comes out yelling. He grabs like a baseball bat and starts you know, smashing in like the windshield and the windows on the dude's car, which is pretty terrifying. But one of the key takeaways here was that little Larry lived close to the In-N-Out Burger. So, of course, we get to stop and have some burgers on the way back. So you just see them in the car having their burgers. It's pretty great. Little scene there of them, all this nonsense just happened and they're just sitting there, Donnie and Walter just eating the burgers in the dude's car. So yeah, so Larry's not budging on this $1 million. Does he have it? We don't know. Probably not. Maybe he does. I don't know. But someone else wants $1 million, and that is Jackie Treehorn. Who's Jackie Treehorn, Michaela?
Jackie Treehorn is an adult film producer. One of the other pieces to this is when we do meet Maude, Maude has a theory about what's going on as well. She knows that her father, who's the Big Lebowski, does not have any of his own money. And she knows that vanity is really his biggest issue. And so she knows that he stole the money, but the question is, where is Bunny? And Bunny, we come to find out Bunny has made a lot of adult videos that have been produced by a gentleman by the name of Jackie Treehorn. And a co-star in some of these videos is this, I don't know, he's a nihilist, which means he believes in nothing. I think his name is Hans or Lars. I never get it. I don't know what it is. But he's involved somehow too, according to Maude. And so Jackie Treehorn invites the dude out to his beautiful home in Malibu, and they're having some sort of party with questionable people. I no one's fully clothed except for Jackie Treehorn and the dude, and they bring him into this office and they ask, hey, where's Bunny? And of course the dude's like, I don't know where Bunny is. I thought you had her. I thought somebody would have her. And Jackie Treehorn says, no, I want to know where Bunny is. And he says, I don't know, but if you want the money is in, you know, Larry Sellers' backyard somewhere or something. I can't find it. It's not in my car anymore.
Yeah. The dude certainly doesn't have $1 million. So
that's right. So Jackie Treehorn ends up drugging the dude because of course, everywhere they go, they say, what can I get you to drink? And he says a White Russian. So he's on his second White Russian. He's like, where's the money? And he's like, I have no idea. I don't know. I was just trying to find my rug, you know, and he starts to slur because he's been drugged. And the dude wakes up. He's going to be sent home. He has a run-in with the Malibu police who don't like him because he doesn't look like someone who belongs in the great sleepy of Malibu.
Yeah, that's right. He's in like a taxi, and the taxi driver is listening to the Eagles, and the dude tells him that he doesn't like the Eagles, to turn it off, and the guy takes great offense to that and kicks him out of the taxi. And then yeah, he ends up like getting arrested by the Malibu police and assaulted by like the police chief. He's like, I don't want any of your nonsense here in my beach town, or something along those lines. But yeah, so now we have the Big Lebowski, we have Maude Lebowski, and we have Jackie Treehorn all want this $1 million back. And the dude is left scrambling because he doesn't know where this $1 million is. Maybe Larry has it, maybe he doesn't, but he knows that he doesn't have it. And, you know, maybe Bunny's life is really in peril because he has her toe. It's all bad. These things are not going the dude's way.
Yeah. There's a great scene where Lebowski, or the dude, he's a real stress, right? There's a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous. And so he is in his bathtub. He's got about 300 candles around him. He's he's smoking a J, we think, I don't know. And he's listening to like whale sounds that are like super relaxing to just try and calm down because a lot's going on in his head. Okay. And in walks Hans or Lars or whatever his name is with his gang. Right. And they've also got like a ferret on a leash, and they drop the ferret in the water and it freaks the dude out. And they're like, we want some money, Lebowski. And he's like, I don't have the money. Who are you? And they're like, they're the ones that kidnapped Bunny. And we're like, they're like, oh my gosh, this is awful. I don't have the money, dude. Go ask Larry Sellers for it. Right. So now there's like four parties involved looking for this money. Mm-hmm. They go bowling. They come out. Those guys are there. The car is on fire. But the dude has figured it out. He knows. He's like, there's no money. There's no money. There never was any money.
Yeah, they finally put all of the pieces together, and that, yeah, there never was any money. It shows like a little like flashback of like stuffing like phone books into this briefcase or whatever. But yeah, they go outside. There's no money. This nihilist gang, I guess, is what we should call them. They're there. They have the car on fire. They're like, we want the money. And the dude's like pulling out his wallet, and he's like, well, I have like almost $5 here. He's got like some change. Donnie's like, oh, I have like $18. And meanwhile, of course, Walter's being Walter. He's like, you're not getting any of my money. He's ready to like go to war with these guys, you know, just like in Vietnam. But yeah, it's this final confrontation with these people that want this $1 million, and come to find out this $1 million doesn't exist.
That's right. So Walter, like, you know, they've got bowling balls in these big ginormous bags. And so Walter like throws a bowling ball at one of the guys, ends up like knocking the air out of him, hurting him pretty bad. Another one, it ends up like fighting with the dude, and he gets hurt, and the other one I think just runs away. And then they kind of look around to check if they're okay, and there's the man down, and unfortunately it's Donnie. And of course the dude is like, oh, he's been shot. And Walter, you know, he's going right back to his wartime days. He's like, no man, there were no shots fired, it's fine, dude. And he's like, nope, this is a heart attack. And so they try and get him to the hospital, but they are unsuccessful, and unfortunately Donnie passes away.
Unfortunately sad. For Donnie. That's right. And they're his two friends in the world. They're left, you know, to make his funeral arrangements, which turns out to be kind of expensive. They're not that interested in doing that. So they swing by the grocery store, pick up like a, I don't know, it's like a Maxwell House can or something to get his ashes, you know, interred into. And they're going to go, good friends, they're going to go and release him into the sea, because they think that might be what he wanted, because maybe he liked surfing. We don't know, but we know that he liked bowling and he was a nice guy. So
they do the best they can, right?
Yeah.
And of course, Walter starts to say a few words, and it starts beautifully, right? Like, this is our friend Donnie. We love Donnie. Donnie loved bowling. We think he might have surfed. He might have been here. He might have been in this very spot in the past. And then all of a sudden it turns into like this kind of diatribe of all of the people that Walter lost in Vietnam and all of the stuff. And the dude's like, come on, dude, like, it's not about that. And then Walter opens the can, and the wind picks up, and the ashes get all over both of them. And they like have to like wipe off the remains. It's really darkly very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets all over like the dude's like sunglasses and in his beard and stuff. But yeah, I guess what do you do after you have just laid your friend to rest at his final resting place? I guess all of the gangs now are off of your case, I guess. I don't know. I guess that just kind of resolved. But what do? You go back to do some more bowling.
That's right. And Sam Elliott's there. Now, we meet Sam Elliott earlier for one kind of quasi scene where he's saying hi to the dude, and he just asked the dude, you know, why do you use a lot of language? Believe it or not, I'm very impressed with this podcast, because I don't think we've dropped one bad word in this recording so far. I'm very proud of us.
There's a lot of language. Hang on, yeah.
Yeah, just hang on. Spoiler warning. So Sam Elliott's character is like, man, do you have to use bad language? I mean, do you just have to do that? And so he kind of presents himself at the end. There's a close in of him, and he's like, you know, I was really sad. He kind of ties up this whole story, because he's the one presenting the story in the first place, right? He says, I'm sorry we lost Donnie, but I hear that there's another little dude coming, because Maude and the dude are they're having moments together, but not in a relationship, right?
Because they had gotten it on, which was pretty great, because after they're finished, like, the dude gets up to go to the bathroom or something, and he comes back in, and she starts talking about how she wants to have a kid, but she wanted to have it with someone that she didn't feel like obligated to see, like, in social settings and things. So
the dude, didn't, I guess, want to be a dad at all, so she could control, like, she was like, I don't want a father, I just needed help conceiving. And he's like, all right, on, man, all right,
okay, cool. Okay. Yeah, nothing ever gets the best of the dude. He keeps his cool all the time. But yeah, another little Lebowski coming in, apparently it took. So
Yeah. Yeah. So the dude abides, and that's pretty much the end.
That is pretty much the end of this caper for Jeffrey Lebowski. So, this is, like we said at the top, this is very much a cult classic. It came out in 1998. If you're of a certain age, then you probably definitely, you know, either saw this or, like I said, you know someone who just absolutely loves this story. And the story of this movie is not really that important. It was basically just a catalyst to get the dude into these different situations with these kind of oddball characters and, you know, just see him interact with them. But Michaela, take us back to 1998, The Big Lebowski. When did you get into this? I know that you really like this. You do lots of quotes from it periodically. So when did you first get into The Big Lebowski, the dude Arino?
So I think I first watched this probably when I was maybe 19 or 20, and I watched it on VHS. Tells you how old I am. So I didn't see this in a theater.
What's a VHS?
Or anything like that. Right. It's a thing that we used to watch movies when rocks were soft. Okay. That's what we did. And the first time I watched it, I'll be real honest, I didn't get it. I didn't like it.
Okay.
I really just didn't. I mean, I understood what was going on, but I didn't get why it was so great and people thought it was so funny. I waited probably 2 to 3 years to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got it and then I loved it. And so I hadn't seen this in a while, but I mean, you're correct. I probably quote half the movie, and I would quote half the movie if given the opportunity, because I do love this film. I think it's one of my favorite comedies. Mm-hmm. Funny story. I've been wanting to do a podcast on movies for probably almost 10 years now. And it all started with a talk about The Big Lebowski with my friend Mark. Mark, if you're listening, thanks for the talk, man. We were all chatting over some drinks. And I was talking about The Big Lebowski and I was saying all these lines. And I remember distinctly my friend Mark saying, man, you should do a podcast. And I thought, oh, that's cool. That was kind of at the pinnacle of when podcasts were becoming a thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that'd be really cool. And it planted the seed. So it's a long time coming. A bunch of people have asked us why we haven't covered The Big Lebowski earlier. We really wanted to do it justice, so we wanted to get some practice runs of how to run a podcast. And I don't know if I'll never know if we did it if we did it right. There's always, it's not, nothing's perfect in The Lebowski. Big Lebowski deserves a perfect summary, but, yeah, so it's one of my favorite comedies for sure, and it definitely brought me to where I am today.
Yeah, that's right. So this is one of those highly quotable movies, and everyone has their own favorite quotes. Yeah, so hopefully we did it a little bit of justice. Now, I did not see this in 1998 or in 2008 or in 2018. I, in fact, watched this the very first time on January 12th, 2022, which was yesterday as of recording. So I hadn't seen this before. So it was interesting to go into it because people love this movie. Like I've said it several times now, but yeah, everyone has that one friend who loves this, thinks it's the best movie of all time, will quote every line. And I think maybe that was part of the reason why I held off on watching it, because I knew that it was probably not going to live up to the expectations that had been built for it. I will say it's very good. The writing is great. Of course, it's the Coens, the humor is there. It's dark. It's everything you would expect coming out from those guys. And it's really good. There's a lot of good quotes in there, and it's an interesting story. I don't know. I don't know when I will watch this again. Michaela has recommended that I give it like a year and then watch it again and see what I think about it after a year. So maybe that's the way to go. But yeah, I don't know, but it was good. I'm glad that I finally watched it. So now when people are telling me things about rugs and about sweaters and about white Russians, I know what they're talking about.
With the Jesus. Nobody messes can't with
break,
the Jesus.
Yeah, can't break that streak right now. And, why Donnie needs to just shut up. But yeah, it's pretty good. There's definitely some highlights here. The cast is great, and they're all quirky and oddball. Like I said, I really liked and Julianne Moore is Maude. She was probably my favorite of the characters. John Goodman is so amazing in everything that he does. He's like the unsung hero of actors for like the last 30 years because he's exceptional in everything that he does. And his Walter is great. So yeah, definitely a fun time to finally get to watch this, and glad we got to cover it on the podcast, Michaela. Before we head out, let's mix up one more White Russian here real quick. And I guess just any final thoughts here on The Big Lebowski. What are your favorite quotes? You watch this, it's for the pod to get ready. Is this something that you watch every couple of years? Or
it is. It is. I wouldn't watch it every year probably, but I've got it pretty much memorized. So I like to, it's nice to see a play-by-play for real once in a while. There's so many amazing characters in this, and we kind of glossed over some of them just because of time. Right. John Turturro's in this. He's mm-hmm. been in a lot of Coen Brothers films. He's amazing as Zajizus. There's a lot of amazing scenes with him in it as well. I mean, it's just a really kind of quirky film, and you're correct. It's gotten quite a following. There used to be, I don't think it's in, it's regularly scheduled now, but there was something in Texas called the Lebowski Fest. I know, I used to know somebody who went, and they would basically rent an entire bowling alley, and everybody would like do role-playing. Like they would all dress up as different characters from The Big Lebowski and bowl. And they served, tons of White Russians, and they'd play the movie on the big screens. And it's definitely a cult classic. It's fun. And the great thing about it is I wouldn't say it ages super well, but it's very pictorially correct around that time and that space. And like sure. someone who's, the dude is just kind of the man for his time and place. And that's why it resonates so well, is because he's a progressive, but he still kind of screws things up when he talks sometimes, and he's not real smart. But he gets it in the end. And because he's just kind of the stoner guy, he gets used a lot by others as a pawn. And he kind of, I like that at the end of the day, you couldn't really pull one over on him. Right. So that's my thought. Final thought.
Yeah, there you go. And I think that's going to take care of it for us then, as far as The Big Lebowski goes. We will have to go sometime here in Charlotte, where we're based out of. There is a local like bar, tavern, restaurant kind of thing called Lebowski's, which is Big Lebowski themed. They have a whole White Russian menu. So I will have to go check that out sometime, maybe cover that on a lobby bar episode or something like that. But, let us know at home if you're making up White Russians on the regular. Just like the dude does. If you have a favorite variation of White Russian, let us know that. Send us pictures of yours, and let us know what you think about The Big Lebowski. Is this something that you are a huge fan of, been watching every year since it came out? Or are you like me, you just put it off for so long, you were hesitant to ever watch it? Let us know. And you can do all of that stuff on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter. It's at Drink the Movies, and on Facebook.com/Drink the Movies for recipes and pictures of our White Russians and all the episode recaps, all that good stuff. You can find that on our website, which is www.drinkthemovies.com. And when you finish bowling your perfect game, which is what Michaela and I are aiming to do in our bowling league, you should probably get subscribed to the podcast. Where should they do that?
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere where Anchor Podcasts are distributed. We hope that we eventually bowl a perfect game. And if we do, we're going to drop it like it's hot on our podcast. We have two episodes a week. So please subscribe. If you're liking what you're hearing, tell your friends, leave us a 5-star review. We're really excited about this community. I keep saying that we get a lot of requests in. If you have a request, send it in. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah,
if you have a request for a cocktail, send it in. What's the worst that could happen? And leave us a 5-star review.
We're ready to drink any cocktails that get recommended to us, pretty much. So yeah, send those our way for sure. But for now, Michaela, we need to rest up. My arm's tired from bowling. I'm tired from watching The Big Lebowski. I'm tired from all these White Russians, but not too tired to have one more before we sign off. So what do you say? Let's go mix those up, and we should talk to everyone next time on
Drink
the Movies.
That rug really tied the room together.
That's just like your opinion, man.